see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
Well, I couldn't get the bloody vocal cords to work.
Put moron number two on the phone.
I know what it's like, Tim, don't I?
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working overtime.
Listening to the Rush Hour.
Chocolate.
I feel good.
Oh, Monday, nice to have your company. Damien Barrett not far away. A big, big round of footy. Footy's good.
Yes.
Isn't it? It's just good.
Great.
Good fun to watch. Close games. Lots of end-to-end. Lots of scoring. Love it.
Plugger.
So Purple on his way in. And then I get the strong feeling, even though he hasn't come in yet, that he's going to talk for a long time.
Who?
Purple.
Yeah.
Because there's so much to discuss, which will mean we won't have to do the quote of the day, which is good. And then I see what stories are trending unusual.
Really?
Yeah.
That's back, is it?
A survey that's certainly caught your eye.
Yes, it has.
For whatever reason. Yep. And then a real poxy joke, and that'll do us. Hello, Fat.
Hey, g'day, Jimmy boy. Great to be with you. Can you believe it's nearly the end of March?
No.
It's just gone like that. Yeah, it's going to be Easter soon, Jim.
That's it. It'll be nice Easter.
How are you, Rabsy?
Tony Liberatore Sr. sitting in the stands. I had the pleasure of sitting in front of Tony at a Bulldogs Hawthorn game many years ago. And I won't be sitting in front of him again. He's a very aggressive supporter, Tony.
And how long has he operated as Tony Liberatore Sr.?
Well, since he had a
son called Tom.
Liberatore
just doesn't stack up on me.
Come on, Nafe.
Nafe, come on,
better
Nafe.
Than that.
He is. Well, not yeah, he maybe is. He is. He's calling all right.
Hey, very good call is
he's
what
he's going
he is.
Very, very well.
Very good.
Indeed. Now, a bit of, not a lot of footy talk, Jim,
because Purple's on
we got old Feathers coming in a minute, and he does all the footy. But there is a bit off the top.
Go on.
Gary Rowan.
Yes.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
The Cats have accepted that.
Ooh.
And he will miss the next 2 weeks, Jim. Did you think it's
unnecessary,
worth...
Bill?
I know.
Not just Gary Rowan; it's every bloody player in the comp. You just don't do it.
No,
like it's just stupid, isn't it?
Was it worth 2 weeks? But I thought maybe one.
Yeah,
but anyway,
they
didn't appeal, so that's fair enough. And the Cats, Patrick Dangerfield played the weekend in the VFL down here at Port Melbourne.
Yes.
Gary Ayres, used to have beautiful black hair.
Didn't he?
Oh, it's white now.
Oh.
It's grey. Oh, there's he.
Yes.
He loves coaching. He's still down there coaching down at the
Borough.
And you love the supporters down there, mate. I went and had a look at the last quarter after the rub. But he played. Should he play? Because I was thinking, what happens if he got reported while he was suspended? That'd be interesting.
Interesting. How'd he go?
He went all right. Yeah, he had just had a nice little run around. They loved it. The boys playing with him.
Of course they would have.
But I went down there. He went off in the last quarter. So he goes off. Mitch Duncan comes on. It's not a bad little change.
Very good.
He got through it too. What else we got, Jimmy boy? Oh, what about your mate, Greg Blewett?
What's he done?
Now, we love Bluey.
Of course we do.
Great cricketer.
Unbelievably good cricketer.
Could hook and pull like no one.
Beautiful.
But he does the boundary now over there in Adelaide.
Yes.
He's a boundary rider. Yep. It was a Port Essendon game.
Well, he also does the rush hour with Jars and Bernard and Dead Set Legends. He's putting a nice body of work together.
He is. He's going well. But, Jim, he's just got to learn how to speak.
Greg Blewett on the boundary.
Yeah, for those that have just joined us, Todd Marshall out late with a bad back. In came Georgiadis and Tyson Depple, out with a bad back as well. So some late changes.
Tyson Depple. Bill.
Jim, if you're going to go places in this game, in this industry, you got to be able to talk, okay? You got to be able to put the words together.
That's your advice to him.
That's my advice.
Yes.
Come on, Greg Blewett.
Greg Blewett.
Hey, how good was Georgiadis, by the way? Can he play that boy? Oh, Marshall comes out and he goes in, kicks four.
On the oath. The old man kicked eight on debut, didn't he?
He did.
Footscray back in the day.
Left footer.
John Georgiadis.
That's it. Yeah, he can play, the young boy. Now, what else we got here?
What do you got?
Well, we got a bit of other sport, Jim.
Oh, come on then.
The Broncos are supposed to come down and play
this league.
Friday night against Storm. It's a big game at Amy Park. Yes. So they've been told to get on the plane right now. Or maybe a couple of hours ago, to get on the plane and fly to Melbourne.
Yes.
Because they're going to be in lockdown.
Of course.
You sure?
Yes, I am sure. Thank you. Now, remember this name, Jim.
Oh, remember the name.
Remember the name.
Remember the name.
That's it. What was his name?
Oh, Carlos Brathwaite. I forgot
the name. Rowan Browning has booked himself an Olympic ticket.
And?
and an Olympic ticket because he's broken the 17-year record for the 100 metres in Australia. So his name is Rowan Browning, and he clocked 10.05, which is pretty quick. You happy with that?
Yep.
What's his name?
Rowan Browning.
Well done, Jimmy. Bill, remember the name.
Speaking of remember the name.
Yes.
Were you aware that of Harry Sharp, who played for Brisbane against your mob on the weekend?
The young boy.
Young boy. Okay. Steeplechaser, Australian-ranked steeplechaser under 18s,
yes.
And then played footy. He broke the combined 2K record by 20 seconds.
No,
he ran
a
2K time trial at the combine, 5:28.
5:28?
Bill.
And broke it by 20
that
seconds.
Is flying.
Wow.
Flying.
Did he play on the weekend?
He played on the weekend. So he had two former Australian-ranked steeplechasers in the game of footy.
Blixars.
The Blitz and little Harry Sharp.
Who got rid of that handball late in the game beautifully. Hey, Blixars.
Yes.
Hey, Harry Sharp, guess where he is today, Jim? At school.
I know.
He's still a schoolboy.
Still a schoolboy.
Yeah.
I love it. All right, is that it, Fat? Any other world news?
NBL.
All right.
Melbourne United.
Yes, Hutchie's mob.
Oh, they've dominated Throwdown 7, Jim.
Right.
Oh, they smashed the Phoenix 80-60.
Right.
Oh, a big score,
that's
60.
A supercar driver's mob.
Hutchie's chairman down there.
Well.
And Formula One, Jim, Bahrain Grand Prix. Our man, Daniel Ricciardo, finished 7th in his McLaren. Right. That's his first drive for the McLaren, so we'll just see how he goes. You want to know the AFL Women's Final Series?
I saw North just scraped in.
North girls take on Collingwood, Victoria
just got
Park.
In.
Yeah, well done.
They were one of the better teams early on. They were. The back end, I don't know what big dazzling Crockers are doing down
dazzling.
There. Come on, Daz.
And Melbourne take on Fremantle at Casey Field.
Yes,
so
nice.
That's
all right.
That's about all.
Nice. Well, Damo's here.
Yeah, he's got all the footy.
All the footy. We better get to the great man.
On the Listener app, you can listen anytime, anywhere. This is Triple M's Rush Hour. JB and Bill, this is Triple M's Rush Hour. Round 2 of the AFL season has been run and won. And the AFL's biggest newsbreaker, Damien Barrett, is in the studio.
Wrapping up the weekend of footy.
Get Purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's recovery session.
Jeez, a bit of news kicking around, Purple, as we welcome you.
Hello, Jim. Hello, Bill. There is. It started last Friday night, didn't it? With the pre-match, the early part of the Geelong Lions game, the quarter time station. There's still an after effect of it. The free kick, Bill, which you said was 50-50.
I haven't seen it.
As we speak, Chris Scott yet to be dealt with by the AFL. There'll be some form of announcement around that. But the big issue for those who haven't caught up with it, official transfer of that Thursday night game, Jim, from the Gabba. Brisbane Lions versus Collingwood now to be played at Marvel Stadium. The Lions haven't been able to return to Brisbane since that game, Bill. They got to Geelong last Thursday night in readiness for that Friday night game. They actually went back to Melbourne on Saturday. We're told by the AFL yesterday, do not go. And as a result of today's lockdown in Brisbane by the Queensland government for 3 days as of tonight, they will be staying in Melbourne for that game on Thursday night. And it is indefinite as to when they can get back. Ideally, they leave on Friday. But again, like a lot of things last year, no guarantees.
It's worked out okay, really, hasn't it, for them to stay in Melbourne. And they can play this game against Collingwood at Marvel.
Why is it at Marvel?
Because Collingwood's got to play one game at Marvel.
Right. Oh, so they can't even get away with that.
One of their home games
at Marvel.
One of their home games got to be at Marvel.
And just logistically, the return match, which fortunately Collingwood and Brisbane were going to have by way of the fixture anyway, round 22, that was initially scheduled for Melbourne, Marvel, and now that will be played at the Gabba, Bill, which will mean that the last four games, as it stands for the Lions now on the fixturing, will be at the Gabba.
Yabba Gabba do.
Righto. What else is making news, please?
Yeah, just the Chris Scott thing. As we talk right now, it's yet to be determined. I feel there'll have to be some form of statement around it, Jim, with his tete-a-tete with some Lions players, which I personally love, and I don't know whether I'm able to say that anymore, given the messaging that the AFL's going to need to send at some stage down the rung, because you can't have coaches at suburban and junior level potentially doing this. Well, it was on, wasn't it? I mean, Gary Rowan had that clash with Lachie Neal at that stage.
Yeah, before that.
Yeah, Chris Scott's version is that Lachie Neal said something about Gary Rowan to Chris Scott, and we all know Chris well enough to know that he isn't walking away from that situation. No. In fact, he walked toward it, and then some other Lions players may have said something, and then Chris might have questioned the way they go about some of their stuff, the Lions, as you would in that heat of the moment scenario. And then it was pointed out to Chris Scott by, I believe, Harris Andrews, Bill, or someone who sounded like Harris Andrews, said, well, we're not as weak as what you were in the grand final of last year.
I'm just reading this here, and I quote, as other Brisbane players soon jumped in the war of words, with Barrett raising defender Harris Andrews' name as one of the players who might have sledged him, not as soft as you pricks in the grand final.
Mm. Hello.
Damien.
Giving you a bit of that fat.
Wow, we.
Have some of that.
Can you beep that
Cats?
Out,
Bill? No, that's what you said. That's what you quoted.
What supposedly Harris Andrews, or someone who sounded like Harris Andrews
and
said.
And is that when you got that funny look from Chris Scott? You know,
I think
that,
it was.
Yeah. And he wanted to go, and then a couple of Geelong blokes, Cam Guthrie and Joel had
Selwood.
To say, mate, you're actually coaching here, buddy. Come over and give it. So he'll get a fine or?
Look, there'll be a please explain at the very least. There'll be a messaging around it. There may be a fine. I'm not convinced of that part of it, but the AFL, I can see why they are going to need to say something publicly because they need to distance themselves from type of behaviour because of the messaging and the imaging around it.
Good and bad. What else do we need? Any other news before we drift into the good and bad?
That's the sort of high-end stuff. I think just big picture stuff, and we don't often delve into this part of this show, but the rule change, the standing the mark rule, we've now got two full rounds of footy, 18 games, body of work. It just works, doesn't
it? Oh, it's brilliant.
Works.
And what's the best bit is what's ahead of the ball.
Yep.
So instead of teams being able to smash back and suddenly you're kicking into 30 people, you just haven't got time to do it. So now forwards are hitting. Look at Tex. Just hitting up into leading lanes. It is a far, far better game, and I just hope that the coaches don't work out a way to cock it up, and it stays like this for the whole way through.
11 goals for Tex, Jim. Mm. 5 and 6. 11 goals. He kicked 15 goals last year. He's kicked 11 in two.
It's great to see him back. And but the big name players are also clearly benefiting from it.
Yep.
Marcus Bontempelli's performance for the Bulldogs against West Coast on Sunday was, you can't say it's surprising because he's done it so many times before. Since his first season, Jim, he's finished either winning or placed in the best and fairest. Yeah. So that's since 2015. Oh, yeah. He's been either winning or placing in that club's best and fairest. And he's already won three of them. You'd think what we've seen at this point already, he's going to add a fourth one to it this year.
Has he signed yet?
He hasn't?
No.
He won't be going anywhere.
Well, you wouldn't think, but he hasn't signed.
I can't imagine him going anywhere, Bill.
Righto.
Yeah.
Unless you know something I don't know.
No. Yeah, I'm in there. I'm in the tent.
Oh, yeah, Bill. He's hitting the scoreboard.
Yeah. And it's good to see Norton kick the three goals as well. I mean, he's still a work in progress and will be for some time.
Yep.
But was crucial at crucial stages yesterday, as was McRae. But we've seen that for 5 years already, haven't we, as well, with when it comes to him. Dunkley had a good return to form, Bill. He'd been out of sorts in the off-season, having wanted to leave the club at the end of last year. But he's clearly back. He was as good as anyone bar Bontempelli on the ground yesterday.
It's a bit of a worry. Speaking of captains, who's not playing well, Patrick Cripps.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he hasn't signed either. Another captain.
No, and he's got a very clever answer as to how he responds to that publicly when he's asked about that he's happy and it's all going to take its course. But when that club is now 0-2, and we'll touch on them in the negatives, but I think it's a bit of a worry about what's unfolding there.
For me, Purple, there's a couple of glaring positives. Sydney are one of them and Melbourne are the other.
Yes.
I don't think any of us saw them 2-0, either of those clubs, and playing very nice football.
Very nice football for different reasons. I think Don Pike's been a big influence, Jim. I know you're quite close to him from the WA days. And clearly he's having effect, Bill, on marrying his thoughts up with John Longmire's and how they are playing. And John Longmire has set this club up beautifully over the past couple of years, got some games into some kids. Now they're benefiting, Bill. You're big on the academy access they've got to key players.
They've got another three or four that we haven't spoken about.
Yep.
The left footer we're talking about out there.
Braden Campbell.
Yeah. Have you seen him?
I'm well aware of his talents, yeah.
Wowee.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mate, they've got about four or five.
There's six who have come from the academy. And they're all going to be impactful and have been already. And just having Bud back, it's just so exciting, isn't it? And even just speaking to, like, Matty Lloyd, Jim, he's big on Bud now with the where he's at his career, with the new rules the way they are, the way that club is now set up, he can stay closer to goal, which would help him when it comes to pinging the hamstrings and the calves, which he's been doing in recent years. So that's a huge positive. Your point about Melbourne, how they've come into the season with adversity, no Ben Brown, no Sam Wiedemann. It was meant to be, well, what's going to happen? Mm. They've just put McDonald back in there, put the onus on him and structured around him. Others have lifted.
Oh, Cozzy.
It's now a problem, isn't it, Bill? Not a problem, but it's a good problem. When both those guys are ready to come back in.
They don't come back in.
Well, they may not. I mean, they will because Wiedemann. They're good players. They're good players in the 22, but it's going to require a bit of a rethink. And Cozzy Pickett.
Oh,
wow.
The most exciting player at the minute, without doubt.
Yeah, I reckon he just about is, Bill.
I reckon
he's clean, isn't he?
Oh,
not only that, he is a Spring Heel Jack. So Flying Ryan, who we love, Cozzy will take those sort of marks.
Mm. Yep.
He jumps on people's heads. He's like Michael Mitchell. Remember him?
From Richmond?
Remember how Mitch used to be able to just jump on
people's over a bloke? Yeah, exactly. It's unbelievable.
He's standing on a bloke's head and had to bend down himself to actually mark the ball.
That's the sort of player he is.
You mentioned the Spring Hill. Liam Ryan, he flew for three massive marks. Yeah. I thought he was unlucky not to be paid the middle one of those three, but the other two, he didn't get near him, but he was up on the head.
What about Paul Gardner won out with him? The worst possible scenario you can be in. You're a big lumbering defender and you look around and there's Flan Ryan and there's no one within 50 metres of you, Fat, and he just, well, he made him look as he would have made him look.
Like
properly stupid. You just walked around him. I love what they're doing, Melbourne. I think credit to Goody, because he's under a lot of pressure coming into this year. They've also, as you said, got players out. They're doing very, very nicely. Now, there are some mobs that aren't.
No.
So I think we'll just have a little break and get to them after this.
Triple M's Rush Hour, JB and Bill. On the Listener app, listen anytime, anywhere, and on Triple M. This is the Rush Hour, JB and Bill, and Damien Barrett's in to chat round two.
I got a question, Damien.
Go for it, Bill.
Who would you want to coach at the minute? Essendon or the Giants?
Slim pickings, isn't it?
It's a hard one. Good question.
I'll go with the Giants, but it's just,
isn't it?
Just,
because they're both going like busted.
Yeah, and then you've got another low, a level lower than that in North Melbourne, who's even worse.
Well,
we know that.
They've got three good, very good players out and all that.
Yeah.
But those other two.
Yeah. No, but Bill, I know they've got three good players, and they are very good players.
Well, they're their best players,
but
Jim.
But Bill, when you've got a Gold Coast footy reporter accurately saying that what they served up was uncompetitive rubbish. That's coming from someone up there. That's not Damo or, you know, someone who actually knows what they're looking at. This is a Gold Coast footy reporter, and he nailed it. That's what, for 40 minutes of that game, Purple, that was unrecognisable what North served up. And I was at a dinner at a mate's joint who happens to be a North supporter, funnily enough. He's from Liverpool, so it's weird that he is. And he had it on, and I had to say to him, oh, you need to turn that off. I can't sit here and enjoy having dinner in this beautiful family with that crap in the background. You're going to have to turn it off. But Essendon, real concerns. Carlton, real concerns.
Yep. And
GWS real concerns.
They're the ones, aren't they? Carlton just needs to do something it's not doing, and they've started horrendously, given it's a 0-2. And I'm not buying that they're okay against Richmond, they're okay against Collingwood. Being okay is not going to cut it now for Carlton, and that's where they're at right now. And
no
excuses. The pressure is here right now for them. Essendon, look, there was an expectation it was going to be a bad year, but losing in the manner in which they lost to Hawthorn in round one, when they were 8-1 at one stage in the second quarter, that was horrendous. We then saw what happened when they get against a really good team in Port Adelaide. So it's just going to be a very long year. But GWS, dangerous to make comments in the gym, usually after round two of a season. But when you add the two rounds of this year to the 17 of last year, you go back to the grand final of 2019, 19 matches have been played since that time. They've won 8.
Yeah.
So,
and Purple, Freo got, what, 6 of their best players out?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they are injury riddled.
Yeah.
So I know it's in Perth.
Yep. And had they kicked accurately the Dockers, it would have been
by
even worse
60 points
than it was. So, yeah, they're the three big worries. Talking about worries and negatives that come out of the weekend, Lockie Neal, Bill, I reckon he's created a problem for himself in the way, not so much for getting beaten by Mark O'Connor in an old-fashioned tag, but for the manner and the complaining with which he carried on with. Now, that's fine, and he's allowed to do that, but other clubs take note of situations.
And playing for free kicks.
Yep.
And the umpires are onto that also. But also, just whinging and carrying on. And went forward, and well done to Mark O'Connor. But that's right. They're going to tag him now. He'll get tagged for the rest of the year now, no doubt.
So who would
that's
loom?
A big game coming up.
Isn't it? On Thursday night.
Oh, man.
Yeah, big game.
You don't want to be 0-3. No. It's a long way back from there.
And it's working against them, given they've had to stay down here for a game that they would have thought, well, okay, we'll go back to the Gabba and we'll just get one away. But now they're going to stay with one pair of underwear, Bill, for the week, given they've been here since last Thursday.
No, I think they've been to Dimmies.
Have they?
Yeah. And you buy the five for about $8, so they'll use it.
Collingwood were good.
They were.
I told Rabbit Caesar Collingwood Nuffy. That was the easiest game to tip of the round for me. Them. Collingwood always going to win that game.
They changed their game from round one, which I liked.
They did. They did.
And leading and hitting blokes on the lead in the forward line.
And just in keeping with these changes that the new rules have brought into the game, you can have a scenario where Harry Mackay kicks four goals on Darcy Moore, And yet you would be valid in saying Darcy Moore was the best player on the ground the way he played. And it's just great matchups around. I'm really admiring the way Jack Crisp's gone around his whole career too, and just the evolution of him, you know, initially at Brisbane Lions and just couldn't get out of there quick enough and then came down as a serviceable player, Bill. But now he's in their A grade.
He's in the midfield now.
Yeah.
I tell you, speaking of midfield, Taylor Adams, don't you love him? Yeah. And that tackle towards the end there. And
you'd just go to war with him.
And you'd let him go first.
We want to go first.
Yeah. Bill, you'd let anyone go first.
That's true. I've had to do me shoelace.
Just like the rifle just slipped as you were going over the top.
Got me gun.
Yeah, sorry about that.
We played it yesterday, Jim, at halftime of the 95 grand final where he's in a little skirmish with Ange Christou. He actually had him on the ground.
Ange,
had him
built like you.
But then Kuda came in.
Kuda got it. That was the end of fat.
Then he was gone.
No, well, it took me a while to get both of them down. But then Barry Stoneham hit Kuda and got fined 20 grand. And Bazza wasn't even playing.
What else from the good?
Good side. You touched on the North Melbourne bad side of that game against Gold Coast. This is not a secret. He got drafted really high and he's been on the verge for some time. But Jack Lukosius is, I think, just about there, isn't he, Bill?
He's the best kick nearly going around.
Well, he's good. And Noah Anderson, David Mundy also might be.
Oh, sorry, Dara.
Yeah. We'll go with they need some credit. I mean, David Mundy, just what a story man is.
Nuts. No, he has been elite forever. And because he's in Freo and because he's such a low-key bloke, he sort of flies under the radar of just how good his career has been. He's a superstar of the game, David Mundy. Noah Anderson's the other one for Gold Coast.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Obviously, all the fanfare in that lead-up to the draft, you know, Rowell and Anderson and the friendship that they've got, and he put together a very good year himself last year, despite it still being overshadowed by the five games that his mate Rowell had played and before getting injured and the nine Brownlow votes that he got in consecutive weeks. But, yeah, you speak 21 up at the Gold Coast. He is tracking as well as anyone out of that draft, and it was an extraordinary draft.
And stupid little vertically challenged Mekong Steve.
He was good again.
He should have kicked three. Got on the at 32 of it or something.
You're talking about your
Andrew.
Andrew Brayshaw.
Coke bottle ankle sort of setup. But I'm telling you, Purple, he's putting together a nice 50-game.
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
Done beautifully.
And the combination with him and Chira in the middle and Sarong, who had a great year, as we know, and was well rewarded last year for that year himself, and being able to team up with people like Mundy and Fife before he got nagged. But that's a worry out of the weekend, the hit from on him with Sam Reed.
Because he's got history, hasn't he?
Got history with that head space. Yeah, he has. Yeah. Just bouncing topics around, and I'm just loving the emergence again of the big star, and Maxi Gawn is a big star. Yes. And his role for the Demons in those opening two wins of the year, particularly against St Kilda. Now, okay, you could say he didn't have a major opponent, and he didn't, Bill, because they're really diminished in that space on the ground at the moment, the Saints. But his work rate, and if you watch the down-the-ground vision, which you can on afl.com.au on Access All Areas, it's just extraordinary, running hundreds of metres just to get to the position to mark a 40.
Dropping back. If he drops back, he just marks it. No one can outmark it.
Gary Dempsey style.
Exactly right. You know who is a star over at Port Adelaide? Zach Butters.
Yeah.
He, pound for pound, he's only a little slight like you, Jim. But hard. Isn't he hard?
Like me, exactly.
Not hard. That's a big difference.
That's the analogy.
No, it's not.
He just wants to hurt people,
doesn't he? He does. And he's only tiny. He's like Linguini over there.
Remember his first game when he came in with Rosie and also Dersma, and they were taking on verbally and physically Max Gawn in their very first game of footy.
And Rosie's got to come back yet, doesn't he?
He's got that foot injury, which they keep saying is not serious, but it's at the same time, you don't want a foot injury the way it was at the start of the year.
They're travelling all right.
But they're killing it. They've beaten two teams who aren't going to figure, being North Melbourne and Essendon. Their test will come in a couple of weeks' time when they've got the Tigers.
Credit to Butters, though, because early on, Bill, that was a knock on him. They worried that he was a bit windy.
No,
and they were absolutely. Coming out of the draft,
they
were all a bit light and a bit outside and a bit, and he has just absolutely put that to the sword. Credit to him, and I like Port. But for some rain in that prelim final day, they could have got over Richmond and easily gone on and had a really good grand final.
The solace
day
they got out of it, I feel, Jim, was that they did everything they could do but except win the game of footy. And as we know, and as we knew last year, you've got to beat Richmond sometimes three times within a match.
Yes.
They beat them twice within that game. Yeah. They just didn't beat them when the siren went. And, you couldn't possibly be critical of yourself if you're Port Adelaide on what happened there last year. They've started this year with the intent, haven't they?
Which they're good. And they're good to watch. That's the other thing.
They're great
to watch. They're a good team to watch.
Just one quick one before we go. The Spuds game, time to talk. That was just done magnificently. magnificently. I know you played your own role, Jim, there in the official pre-match function, and what went on the ground with
Gary. Yeah, I didn't see that, but apparently it was great.
Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah, it was really well done.
Yeah,
and as we said on Saturday, Rub Bill, Anita Frawley wants it to be a full round dedicated to the cause next year. And given Anita's ways, I think, with getting things done.
It's a great idea.
I'm going to back her in to have that next year.
Interstate, everywhere. Interstate. Yeah.
Plugger. Back.
Yeah. It was good to see Plugger.
Oh, yes. He can still see the eyes on him, can't he?
Oh, yeah.
Like, down the rooms, I'm looking at him going, jeez, you still got him, Bill, isn't he?
Did they... The end was still the Lockett end and Frawley end?
I didn't catch
so
up with
that.
So
did that black out Matty Lloyd's?
Oh, no.
Oh, did they?
I don't know. Speaking of that, Channel 9, did we get hacked over the weekend?
I understand your show went into Sydney and Brisbane.
National.
Jeez, they would have been unhappy.
But you know the only problem was TJ's opened it up with it went a bit long and I nearly would have gone punk with the old remote. But... he went for some gold. Guess who he throws to for a bit of gold off the top? Kane.
And?
If they didn't hit it when Chompas was talking, they certainly hit it when Kane was talking.
Imagine if you're like northern beaches of Sydney, up at Curl Curl, DY.
Narrabeen.
You're just Narrabeen. You're watching your box, and there comes Fat. What's this shit?
Well, they thought it was the big man. They thought they were watching the big man. And then they... Who was Sterlo?
Kane
was Sterlo. But we went national.
The big man.
Oh, I know.
Because Sydney couldn't do anything.
Couldn't broadcast.
You know what I'm hearing, Jim?
Are you allowed to say this, Bill? Weren't we told not to talk about it?
We got hacked by a big country overseas.
Yeah. So is that what you're hearing?
Which one?
China. That's what I'm hearing.
Oh, is that what you're hearing?
That's what I'm hearing. Is that what you hear that, Dave?
I heard another country, Bill.
Oh. Russia. All right. One of them, Jim. I'm not saying anything.
Hey,
what about the whole golden slipper? Stay inside. There's Russia. What about the winner of the golden slipper? How's the easy win there to stay inside. That was the omen bet because of the weather in Sydney. You should stay inside.
You went with that all week. I didn't think it was funny the first time, Bill. And
still
I'm not sure it actually had any relevance given that the people were able to go.
All right, Damo, f*** off.
Damo's recovery session.
JB, I don't know how it is, but Bill's quote slipped in this week.
No, we've run over with purple, so there's no quote.
It's a rush hour at Triple M. On your home smart speaker and on your radio, this is Triple M's Rush Hour with James Brayshaw.
I have a joke.
And Anthony William Brownless.
What a waste of energy.
And there's plenty of stories going
on. No quote.
No, we've run
out of time.
No, we're not doing a quote. But he somehow snuck this in.
Oh, yes.
Nobody has their finger on the pulse quite like Billy Brownless.
Now, what are we doing?
No.
This is the Rush Hours. What stories are trending today? Unusual.
Very good segment, this one, Jimmy boy.
I don't reckon.
Well, you just got to get behind it
a bit.
Get behind it.
Well, what do you got?
Because this is what's trending. They put out a survey, Jim. The sexiest bald men in the world.
Surely not.
Yes. There's 11 they've got here in this survey.
You're nowhere near it?
Well, funny enough, I'm not. But who do you reckon? Who's the sexiest bald man in the world? Who would you say?
Oh.
It's been in the news a bit lately this week.
Bruce Willis?
No, not there.
Oh.
Not there in the 11. There.
No, he's there.
Righto. I don't think he is.
The Rock?
He's there, bottom left.
Oh, geez, he's looking ordinary.
Who is it?
No, it's Prince William, Jim.
Fair income.
Yes. I don't know if he's sexy, would you say that?
I don't know.
Well, anyway, he had 17 million hits.
Mm-hmm.
That's not bad.
Yep.
Guess who's second?
Who?
Mike Tyson.
Iron Mike.
Still Jesus. People love him and think, yeah, he only had 8.8 million hits.
Yep.
Third, do you know who I look like?
Who?
No. Jason Stratham. Yes, Jim. Jason Stratham.
Statham. There's no R in there, Bill. Statham.
There's an R here, Jill.
Oh.
There's Statham. Jason Statham.
There's no R in there.
He's the third sexiest bald man.
Yeah, I get that. He's a Hollywood superstar.
And then next one, Jim.
Go on.
Vladimir. He's been putting it in. Best hair is Vladimir now. Well done to him. I think everyone in Russia voted for him, Jim, if they don't.
Yeah, that would have got him over the line.
Number five, Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, legend.
Do you know him?
Yes, the actor.
Brilliant. Star Trek, isn't he?
Do you know
Star
him?
Trek.
Star Trek. Doctor Who and things
Star
like that.
Trek.
Star Trek. And do you know he?
Yeah.
Do you know him?
Oh.
What about the next one, Jim?
Go on.
The old Pitbull.
Oh. Like it.
got no idea.
Right. And after that?
Oh, my favourite indeed. Lord Mayweather. Floyd Mayweather, Jim. One of your favourites.
Lord Maywag.
How did I get Lord Maywag?
I still
Maywag?
Don't know how you got there.
Out of Floyd. That was a bit of a Greg Blewett stuff.
It was.
John Travolta, Bruce Willis, you're right, he's there. Dwayne Johnson and Vin.
Oh, that's trippy.
G Slatin. That was a good show, wasn't it?
G Slatin.
Monday's not your best, is it really?
Chicks look.
Bill, it's not your best day.
Oh, no, Mondays aren't. We're all a bit.
You're like a big hole in your shirt, by the way.
Yeah, I just worked that out. You've been shearing. And see, Ed was in town.
Oh, my God.
Ed Sheeran. Man, but I liked a couple of the AFL boys, Jim. I thought not included was the Duck and Nath Brown and Matty Lloyd, who've all had a bit of help with their hair. Indeed, especially Matty Lloyd with a bit of colour.
Colour?
You told me that.
How would I tell you that?
Well, Lisa's not the burn.
Yeah, his wife, Lisa, yes.
Maxie Gaunt.
Yes.
Who's gone bald. He's on fire.
Yes.
Also, Plugs Walker. He's not Plugsy. There, Jim. But Ben Cunnington, he's not playing, so
yep.
I tell you he's going bald. Tom Mitchell, but he doesn't like to talk about it. He's in good form, Tommy Mitchell.
Very good form.
I tell you, he's in form, and he's back in the Triple M corridors, the Chief.
Chief!
Yes, he should be on that list. He How should. Good's the Chief? Wasn't it good to have him around on the weekend?
Brilliant. He's not a good-looking man, though, Chief. You're not putting him down as a hot, bald man.
Well, when he had the island, when he had little Tassie.
The bad light. Come on. All right.
So there it is. They'll be trending tomorrow.
Will they?
Well done, Prince William.
All right. Joke next?
Yep, I'm working on one, Jim. I'm just putting one together.
On tomorrow's show, surf champion Sally Fitzgibbons, who is part of Australia's Olympic surfing team, which, Bill, they are called the...
Cats.
Hey, by the way, surfing over the Easter weekend is up in bloody Newcastle.
I know, we've lost
what's
it. What's
the bells?
Lost it down at Torquay. I can't believe that, Jim.
Bloody rubber league. They've taken our bloody surf tournament.
Done everything.
Rubber league.
That is disappointing to lose. Because that's iconic down there.
Ring the bell.
Ring the bell.
So it must be later in the year, is it, or something? There will be a tournament of bells.
I don't
surely.
Think so. I think
no, but
just,
no more.
Just lost. No more ever.
Next, come on.
Next year,
Bill, I will not believe that there's no bells surfing tournament anymore.
No, it'll come.
It is it's iconic.
Exactly right. Everyone knows it down there. See what's happening in the Sioux.
Winky.
Think about bells. Winky, you've got to drive through.
Yeah, you do.
Just be careful driving through there.
What happened to Geelong?
What? Just
well, firstly, I didn't get home till 12:45.
Sucked in.
Friday night.
Yeah.
Secondly, I managed to miss a drive-by shooting.
Well, I didn't see that.
Your joint.
I don't know what happened there. I didn't see it. It's a big detour you had to go around Sundays. I know that.
What the hell?
See what's happening in the Suez Canal?
Oh, no.
Suez Canal? Suez Canal?
Which one?
The little canal where the big boats go down, Tim. Big ships, container ships.
Even with you,
there's a traffic
getting
jam.
It wrong four times. So I know.
A big container ship.
Yes.
Got lodged. It's got lodged and it's stuck there. Mm-hmm. There's 528 boats in a. Is it a traffic jam with boats?
I can imagine it.
It happened 6 days ago, Bill.
But it's still bloody lodged there. It's stuck there. They've got 18 tugboats trying to pull it out. They can't move the bloody thing. Every day, it costs here, Jim. Let me just quote you on this here.
But this is part of your joke, isn't it?
No. This is part of the trending.
Which is last week. It's a
late entry, Jim. Yeah. Just a pad there for a moment. I'll just find that. It's $290 million a day or something it's costing.
All the shipping, you know, the big shipping containers.
They go through the Suez Canal.
Susie,
$290 million worth of trade is being held up every hour.
Yep.
That is unbelievable. Mm. Move the bloody thing.
I think they're trying.
They're doing their best.
They reckon it's a conspiracy.
Do they?
Someone's done that on purpose.
Joke?
Yep.
End the day with a laugh. This is Billy's joke.
It's a worry, that the ship, isn't it?
Cargo ships. Can't get through, Bill. Yeah. All right, come on, joke.
I think I've got a drinking problem, Jim. The missus asked me to toast some bread for her the other night. So I held up me frothy and I said, here's to toast. No, here's to bread.
Oh, no.
Here's to bread.
An appalling joke, appallingly told.
I think Greg Blewett's in. He's in tomorrow, Jim. I filled up my beer and I said, here's to bread.
That's it, Bill, yeah.
Right, eh?
No, not funny really anyway.
Well, it's quite him. Wow, it's been a big day, Jim.
Yeah.
When are we going to start? Come on, Jim, you're going to improve.
Finish up,
Brett Blewett on the boundary for Bob Jane T-Marts.
Clean belly, bill of health. clean bill of health for both teams down here, guys.